But it's our All Andrea Hour right now.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Bringing Dr. Andrea Levy, Associate Professor and Program Coordinator, Social Sciences from Middlesex Community College. We're at a very unpleasant academic experience because I was a dope back in the early 70s. Dr. Levy, good morning. How are you?
Didn't last long, eh?
Good morning. I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Hi, Doc.
60 to 80% of people surveyed have not been forthcoming with their doctors about information that could be relevant to their health, according to a new study. Why do people, and I have felt like this at times.
So have I.
When I go to the doctor, and then I finally cave in because I think, why am I paying this money?
Yeah.
But why do people, why are people afraid to tell doctors what ails them?
Well, you know, there's a lot of really uncomfortable stuff that we have to talk to our doctors about, and there's a, you know, a power dynamic, and there's a lot of complicated stuff going on in that room. It's hard for us to tell, you know, our loved ones about some of our embarrassing symptoms and things of the sort. So, you know, we can certainly understand why it might be difficult to tell a doctor who might very well be a stranger. But in terms of what we found in the study, patients said that they didn't want to be embarrassed, they didn't want to be judged, they didn't want to hear how bad the behavior was for them in the case of having an unhealthy diet or exercising adequately. It was just difficult. It was uncomfortable for them, and people want their doctors to like them, and they don't want their doctors to think that they're difficult, and they don't want to be a pain in the butt, and you know, that's what
kind
of leads to what I think we're seeing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've talked to my doc about a couple of things. In fact, I'm seeing one at 10 this morning, so there you go. But, you know, do you smoke?
I hope you're honest.
I'm fine. Well, yeah, you know what? Thanks to you.
Good luck on that, Andrew.
Thanks to you, yes. Hey, that's why they give you electrocardiograms and stuff, you know. But, I mean, one of the questions
electric shock.
Well, there's that, too. Do you smoke? Do you smoke? And generally, most people will say, oh, about a pack a day. And most doctors know, okay, it's at least a pack and a half.
Right, right. There's this longstanding conventional wisdom in medicine that doctors kind of need to up whatever response they get or decrease it, you know, depending on, you know, if it's an unhealthy diet, they might need to adjust.
Oh, God.
Toward it being worse. If it's alcohol use, they might need to increase it.
Are there other areas where people are reticent to talk to
the
doctors?
I think it's the personal stuff, the embarrassing stuff.
Well, yeah. I mean, I would think, like, if there's
some kind of gastrointestinal.
Or an item that we have ads on 24/7 on the day for this radio station.
Yeah, well, so we are starting to look at some other data we collected on much more sensitive items than we explored in that first study, including things like depression and as you said, embarrassing symptoms and even suicidality and sexual assault, right? These are really sensitive, difficult topics, and yet really important for patients to disclose because their primary care doctor or whichever provider they're seeing may be their only point of contact in terms of a professional around those issues. And we know how important professional intervention is in those situations.
So when you talk to the people, how many people did you interview, by the way, doctor?
So these were surveys, online surveys of a total of about 4,000 people.
That's a pretty good number. All right. And
yeah, that's a pretty good sample size.
Yeah. It's not
bad. It was across two separate studies. Yep.
Oh, my God. So, okay, what do you recommend here? I mean, you recommend that, hey, tell your doctor the truth, no matter how embarrassing it may be.
Well, sure. We might need to give people a little bit more than that, right?
Oh, all right.
Right. We obviously, you know, have more work to do in terms of understanding this phenomenon and seeing what we can do to help patients be more comfortable disclosing uncomfortable information. And we believe that, as in any relationship, this is on both parties to make it work. On the doctor side, is it a matter of the physician making better eye contact when asking the difficult questions, or is it a matter of the doctor trying to kind of normalize for the patient the uncomfortable answers, meaning, you know, when the doctor asks about an embarrassing symptom, maybe the doctor can say, hey, you know, I just had another patient who had that
symptom. Good, yeah.
A little bit easier to disclose. And on the patient side, I think about helping patients to understand the potential consequences of non-disclosure. As you said, I'm paying for this, but there's actually some very real implications for a person's health if they don't disclose.
Well, I want to interrupt for a moment here, because one of the things that I think is happening in medical schools, I know UConn is doing this at their School of Medicine, is, you know, listen to your patients. In other words, sadly, because the reality of the business these days, the profession, you don't get a lot of time to talk and go deep. But that can make, you can find out a lot of stuff just talking with your patient.
Yeah, and with the rise of electronic medical records,
there you go.
Physicians feel pressure to be staring at the screen, which again detracts from eye contact and time to just engage with the patient, which probably all feeds into this issue.
So the bottom line is, if you go to the doctors, tell them what's ailing you, because that's why you're there.
Yeah, and because again, not just for financial reasons, but because of the health consequences, right? If you don't tell a doctor about a certain medication you're taking, the doctor might prescribe something that contraindicated, that is bad in combination with whatever you're not disclosing, and that's one of so many scenarios that can arise that can really have very significant implications for a person's health.
Well, this was good, Doctor. Thank you much.
Thank you, Doctor.
You've given me something to live by today, so thank you.
Now we'll see what Ray does.
Well, good luck at,
yeah,
good
now
luck
we'll see what
10
he exactly. Yeah. We'll see what he does at 10 a.m.
You want to call me up and check out, see how I did? Hey, Dr. Levy, thank you much for being on. It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
All right, she's nice. Associate professor, nice. Program coordinator, social sciences, Middlesex Community College. So if you go to see the doc, and Joe, I thought you had a good point. I'm paying this person.
Well, seriously, so, I'm paying you. Yeah. The copay's anywhere from $20 to $2,000. So.
Sometimes I make up stories and be more interesting.
Well, I'm not sure that's
the right thing to do.
I'm not sure that suggests.
It's a 728.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.